Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, you have before you, I'd like to introduce my colleague Helen Barrington, so it's Helen.
Harold.
Sorry, do apologise, Chair, I should know better. So it's the annual complaints and compliments report before you, which Helen can absolutely see to ask any details. There's probably three things that I just wish to draw committee's attention to. First, you will see that actually we've had a reducing number of complaints go through to the Ombudsman. Indeed, of 8 cases last year, only one went down fault. And you'll see in the report that actually the Ombudsman has been very happy with our resolution to that. The point I wish to make is that local government Ombudsman, and some of you might have noticed this about 3 or 4 weeks ago, published his annual report, and in that annual report, one of the key messages was the rising number of complaints coming through from social care. He did ask the question in his report, was this a consequence of, you know, something, savings which needed to be required? That's the key question he asked. But actually, a rising numbers where actually he was finding for effectively complainant. What you see in Helen's report is that actually, in terms of that resolution for us, we are very significantly below that national average. So when complaints are getting through, A, the numbers of complaints going through to the local government ombudsman have reduced over the last 3 years, but B, actually, you know, he's finding fault with us in far fewer cases than is the case nationally, you can see that. So that's the first point I wish to make. Secondly, what you'll see is, again, modally, so most commonly, in terms of complaints coming through, most of those are resolved at that informal, very early stages. What you'll see is some trends in Helen's report as opposed to what the nature of the complaints coming through. They remain issues and complaints about how charging. Adult social care, as you're well aware, is means tested. It's not free at the point of delivery. And that does come as a shock and a surprise to many people. YouGov polls actually show that the majority of the English population think that the NHS run adult social care, and it's like the NHS, it's completely free at the point of delivery. It's not, it's run by local government, and it's not free, it is means tested, because there's the rest. So you'll see that Helen's also secondly put some of the key elements of that. Charging is one, poor communication by social workers and others is another. And then the third thing really is please do make sure we pay as much attention to the compliments, to the complaints. We need to take complaints seriously, we need to learn from complaints. But equally, we do need to recognise that our staff do a difficult, and I would say honourable, job day in, day out. And for the very most part of things, those frontline workers and my frontline colleagues get things right. So please do look at the compliments. So you have the report in front of you. Helen, I know, will take any questions, and indeed I'm happy to also. But I would finally commend the work that Helen does. We're very fortunate to have a complaints and compliments officer of the caliber of Helen. She knows the systems. Adult social care has its own nationally set complaints process, which is different to the council's complaints process. We follow the national one, but that has to do all adult social care departments. I've worked in a number of other local authorities, and actually Helen, in terms of making sure that our complainants know how to complain, because that's really vital, working and challenging when she needs to, our frontline colleagues, she does that extraordinarily well. And the results speak for themselves, which is why I started with results in terms of looking first for local government ombudsman. So, thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Michael.
Thank you. I think it's important, as you said, to know the compliments within that, so I'm sure that we know that. Often the people who are coming into the services is quite complex, and they often go into other services. So they might be come through the NHS, they might then come through you into care, you know, the pathway. And quite often, actually, it's quite difficult to know who correctly to make your complaints or the side. And often this gets confused. And when I talk to people in families, they're often just very tired and exhausted, and often the complaints go to the wrong people. They're not transferred over or put over. It sort of goes back to them and they have to do it again. And often the answer is, well, we're just too tired. You know, we just haven't got the energy to do it. Is there a need to, in your integrated sort of care movement, like have an integrated service, have an integrated complaints system, so that actually you can learn together and, you know, you actually have a sort of pathway. When I was looking at an older person the other day who had, you know, a range of issues to do with their care at home, but they also had issues with NHS, and they also had mental health problems. And in fact, you know, they didn't know where to sort of go until they spoke to someone and basically told, that's not our problem. So what I'm saying is that there needs, you might be doing down the pathway a very good job, but also there's a duty of care to make sure that that individual, if they do have issues of that pathway, that there is a joined up thinking in the complaint system. It's just my input.
Is that working? It's a really important point that you made, and I think we need to recognise that we do work jointly with the NHS. We do have separate complaints processes, we have separate different timescales. But when someone brings issues that are a combination across both organisations, there is it's recognised that it's easier for the complainant to provide a single response, a coordinated response. So that coordination would go on behind the scenes for the complainant. They would receive one single coordinated response and the NHS and adult social health work together. We would decide who was going to be the lead organisation in that, so depending on the issues we involved, and one organisation would lead and we would contribute. The aim of that is to make it as easy as possible for the complainant. We certainly don't have joint responses with the NHS since I've been in the work. And we held joint resolution and restorative meetings with complainants, colleagues from the NHS and adult social care to sit down and sort those issues and their concerns. I think the issue of an integrated complaint service is that there's a different issue, a bigger issue to maybe look at and consider. But at the moment they do run parallel, but they do work together.
So I wonder if maybe for next year, I'm wondering out loud, where we've got just the overview of the nature of complaints, if we could also include another category there around, of these, how many were jointly managed, so you can get that. There's a very good reason why there's separate complaints processes, and that is actually, it's unacceptable if you receive adult social care the other night, vis-a-vis in Islington, if you're choosing another eye. But actually, you know, you would, because we now have national, you know, fair access to care, eligibility criteria, national legislation, government would be highly likely, with very good reason, to say, actually, you should have the right to expect the same quality of care if you live in Islington as if you live on the Isle of Wight. So there's a single complaints process. Equally, the same would be said for the NHS, that so actually, if you live in Islington and you're pregnant and you're, your prenatal care, you've got an issue with that, it should be the same quality as if you lived on the Isle of Wight. So there are very good reasons for why they're separate. I think what you raised is a really interesting challenge. I don't think it just remains, you know, it begins and ends with complaints. As we move towards integrated care systems and becoming integrated care partnerships at local level, so we need to look at those processes where it makes sense to begin to join up because it's in the interest of those we serve to do so. But sometimes, you know, we also have to meet our statutory obligations. And it's why I stress the fact there's a national, you know, standard and process and timescales for adult social care. And as Helen has just told you, those timescales are different for how the NHS needs to respond. So I think there's something you can do locally, because actually you think it makes sense, but what you can never do is to say we will do that instead of meeting our statutory obligations, until of course those statutory obligations are joined up.
Chris.
I think
Just a quick extension, really, of what we were talking about, joint complaints, health service, blah, blah. Well, that wouldn't happen quite so frequently. I would hope that at some stage you would actually take on board the issue of complaints relating to social care and general practice. Have, again, a common pathway, so you exactly, you know, as a customer, where to go. Just add that dimension to it.
John.
Thank you. It's not really a complaint, this is an observation. I had a phone call from a lady that was looking after her husband who had a number of problems, and she was doing 24 hours of care with him.
John, put your mic on.
I'm sorry. And she wasn't angry, but she didn't know where to turn, you know, what to do. And all I did was phone social services. And they said, oh, well, she's got a problem with sending someone out to see her. And they were very good. But it seemed to me the problem is that it's not that the facilities are not there. But people just don't know where to go to find out. So I wonder whether we could be looking at some way of putting this information available so they actually know what's available for them to do. Thank you.
Thanks,
John. So in the last 6 months, we've been keeping revamped the website for adult social care and housing needs because we've become a single department. We spent a lot of time and effort on that. We involved users of our services as well. So we tried to make it as intuitive as possible because it's that three clicks and you're out, so to speak. People know how to keep. We also routinely have information that's, you know, that's given out to all GP practices. Our information sheets go out to all of our faith communities and other voluntary community sector, of course, also have, you know, posters which they can put up on their walls. So I think as in terms of trying to inform people as much as we can about, you know, what number to call and when, whilst it's not as intuitive as a 111 or a 999, actually what we have done most recently as well is changed our care management. So now you don't even go through Westridge, the council's around there, you can come straight to adult social care, and that's all been in aid of trying to make it easier to get straight to us. But I take your point in terms of you can never do enough to ensure that people are as informed as they need to be about where to go. But, you know, part of our contracts now are very clear as well, that if you're funding you in the voluntary community sector, part of that is that you also act as signposts back into adult social care as well as out of adult social care for the supports that you need. But your point, Councillor Howe, is well made. We need to have an informed, it's part and parcel of people living as independently as possible, that actually they know those different places where they can go and who is providing what on what is after all an island at 726/13. So, you know, we haven't got a large geography to, you know, as a vague excuse for why people don't know how to access. So we've worked hard to update our website. We've worked hard to ensure that posters and leaflets have gone out to those places where they need to. But I absolutely take your point.
I was wondering, Harold, whether it's possible to more involve the health centre more, because most of these people usually end up at the health centre.
As I say, Councillor Howe, our information already goes to all and each and every one of the general practitioners. I know that the hospital also plays things up in A&E and MAU around is how to access. We have social workers who are now based in the A&E. And in fact, I'm going to give this now in terms of some good news. The work we've been doing together in terms of putting people within A&E, be they social workers, be they from the community sector, Maggie's colleagues as well, OTs are there now, advanced nurse practitioners. We're, for the very first time, I think, tomorrow is published the State of Care Annual Report, and you will see in that a vignette about the Isle of Wight in terms of very good best practice, in terms of diverting people's entry into hospital and A&E. So I'm delighted about that, but part of why that's been successful is because of the information that's also now in the A&E department.
Thank you very much.
Carol, one final question, and it's a question that was asked at the Trust Board meeting as well. It's a general question, really, regarding the name or misnomer, maybe, of complaints. Are we not missing eliciting valuable feedback from users by assuming to pre-label complaints, that feedback as complaints and as compliments? Should that not be a process for internal channeling of that feedback?
So we also have, like the NHS, I've had an answer from my health colleagues sat in the room about that. But in the same way in which the NHS has its formalised processes to ascertain feedback, be that positive, be that negative, because you learn and you must act upon both, we also do the same thing in adult social care. And it's really important that you use methodologies that allow you to compare with other local authorities so you can see how you stand. Basically, we have a user survey which has been designed not by me, not by other DASs, but actually by NHSD and the Department of Health and Social Care, which is done now a couple of times a year. And we use that as part of our statutory performance indicators about what people are saying about the quality of support that they receive from their social care department. I won't bore you of the detail of what this means, apart from it's positive. So, for instance, nationally, the 2017-18 national outturn, we will get the 2018-19 outturn published in November. The national, in terms of people saying what's their quality of life as a result of receiving adult social care, the national average was 19.1. The Isle of Wight got 19.7. So we're above the national average in terms of the impact that people are telling us that we are the delivery of it, which is positive. I'd like it to be even higher. Top performer in the country is at about 24. So that's my ambition, is to get to about that. But we're higher than the national average. Equally though, that we're not performing as well, because it's important that I tell you that as well, not being accused of, I'm just being very selective of my statistics, is for carers' satisfaction of the quality of life. And that actually is probably at this stage one of my biggest worry beads. We don't give carers nearly enough care and attention. Carers Isle of Wight undertake, and it's a very good, strong model. It's not one I introduced, it's one I very fortunately inherited. Carers Isle of Wight undertake carers' assessments on the island, and what's good about that is that they've got that level of independence from the department. And carers, of course, if you put the national minimum wage to each hour that an informal carer delivers, it would dwarf the collective budgets of the NHS, adult social care, and defence. In this country, so we really rely very heavily on the role of family carers to look after those who need ongoing care and support. It's there that we're below the national average, and it's there that we particularly need to be really looking at how well we're supporting carers in their caring role.
Thank you, very honesty, Carol. Michael, and then we'll move on.
I'm glad you brought this up, and I think it's a very important one. Birmingham City Council, probably many years ago, did a very good study about the needs of carers, and they came up with a kind of seesaw diagram of the carer and the cared for. And actually, what they came up with, some detailed research from Birmingham University, that actually the needs of the cared for and the carer were very, very close. And actually, quite often, when the cared for actually did pass away, that carer was then noticed and actually came into the system to be cared for. So people are hanging on by their fingernails within this, and we do need, because as you say, they collapse, and I see many people very close to collapsing within that. Actually, that's going to go back onto everything. So I'm very glad you raised it, and I hope that we can
thank you very much, Michael.
We can bring something back on it.
thank you for that observation. It wasn't actually to do with complaints, but it was tailing on the subject matter as it came up. So we'll move on to the next item.